Okay, let's begin our this year's shiur of Haggadah, Tavshin Pehei. Baruch Hashem, it's always very exciting to be able to come back to like an old friend. Like, I know I start preparing this on Shushan Purim. So it's, and then there's Haggadah shiur and Shavuos Haggadah. So that's for my month. So it's really, again, Baruch Hashem, this is our 23rd year giving Haggadah shiur. We try not to repeat. And Baruch Hashem, but sometimes I can't help myself to just put things in here and there, but everything in your packet is, I think, except for one thought, is new that we haven't mentioned. So let's get right into it, and we'll do as much as we can in the time that we have allotted to us. And again, we're not going to read everything that you have in front of you. Feel free to take some of the thoughts. I'm going to just read some of it and allude to it. But you have almost everything here in your packet for this year. So we start off the introductory thoughts. So we know we need to feel tonight's mitzvah of mitzvahs is Chayav Adam Liros Atzmo Ki Hilu Yatzami Mitzrayim. We have to feel as if we went out of Egypt, a unique mitzvah for tonight, right? Every day of the year we have, every day and night of the year, we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. But tonight we have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we've discussed the differences in between them in the past. How lengthy and question answer and how comprehensive. But we need to feel it's a hard mitzvah. It's a hard mitzvah. If you look in the Siman Labanim, Rav Kashtiel Sefer on Moadim, he says, Echa min ha-mafyanim ha-boltim shel Chag HaPesach, one of the unique factors that stands out, hi hachanas ha-rabo shel mekaybim lekraso, right, the hachanas that we do, that even halachically, the kriyas ha-parshios, that is all related. But it's interesting, in the Haggadah, we quote the two major psukim sources. Right? The Haggadah has many layers to it, how old it is. So there are some things that are really old, like Manishtan is really old. That's in the Mishnah. But there's some things even older than that, and those are the psukim. The psukim are the oldest part of the Haggadah. Right? We have the Mikra Bikurim that we darshan, and we have the psukim of the questions asked by the sons. Right? Those are the psukim. But those are the two major sections of psukim. So isn't it interesting, as says the Siman Labanim, the psukim that we discuss, both, he writes, of Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah and Arami Yovid Avi, both of those are conversations that we are meant to have with people who did not experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? It says by the Banim, your son is going to ask, Mazos, your son is going to ask, Ma, what is this avodah that you're doing? And what's Mikra Bikurim? Later on in history, right, Mikra Bikurim, somebody's going to come to the Beis HaMikdash and start talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's two parshios and two sections Rav Kashtiel deals with that were not firsthand experienced. You would think, again, Parsha Shmos, Sefer Shmos, is what we should focus on. So he suggests maybe that's the message. The Torah is giving us insight into how to try to feel when you weren't there. And dafka, these sections of psukim are most appropriate then. Most appropriate to somebody who's bringing Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash many years later, maybe by studying those psukim and the insights that those psukim give us, that's specifically suited for the Leil HaSeder, to experience what is challenging for us to experience. He says towards the bottom, he wrote, Sel l'lameit, ketzal is modeid im habanim shel hayu b'mitzrayim. How can we help a child who was not there feel? What does it mean? Right? What does it mean? How we deal with each of the sons. So dafka, these sections are most appropriate for us to be able to deal with. And he continues talking about the types of messages that we give, the vada'us of the geula. That is all just by way of introduction. As we know, you try to feel, so already the Haggadah gives us hints into how to feel if you aren't there. These psukim and these answers are dafka, conversations that happen with children and ourselves who aren't even there. Okay, then we get into Kadesh, Kiddush, the first of the simanim. We've discussed the simanim in the past, maybe just to mention, I think it was the Chiddush Yerim that says, why do we call it simanim? Right? Simanim, Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas. What do we call a simanim and what's the purpose? So one of the ideas is that simanim in halacha, we know there's something called an aveda huchsar b'simanim. If I lose something, I could give it back if I give simanim, if I give the identifying characteristics. Oh, I lost this, and it had a rip in it, and it was this color. And Aveda is huchsar b'simanim. The whole year we're somewhat lost. We're not focused, right? We can't find the real true self, who we are. The night of the Seder, this is not on the sheet. This is just one of the old. The night of the Seder, we give our simanim. We give our identifying features. We're a nation of Kadesh and of Orchatz, Karpas, Yachas, going through. These are our simanim so we could find ourselves. So we could reacquaint ourselves with ourselves. Right? Every year, once a year, we have this restart. And, you know, sometimes the computer gets a little stuck and you like press the button and you bang in the phone. I'm dating myself. Computer. But it gets stuck. So you have to like turn it on and off. You have to reboot. Control-Alt-Delete. So Erev Pesach is a Control-Alt-Delete. Right? We reboot ourselves to be able to connect to ourselves and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the simanim. Okay, but the first of the simanim is Kadesh. Kadesh has within it Kiddush. This is every Kiddush. Has within it two brachos. This year we're going to have more. First of all, Odai has a three brachos with the Shechianu. And also this year we have a Yak Nahaz, right? We have Havdalah along with Kiddush. But the root Kiddush is Bar Pir Gafen and Asher Bachar Banu Mikolam. A Birchas HaNehenin, a bracha on pleasure, that's the Bar Pir Gafen. And then Asher Bachar Banu Mikolam. Is that a Berchas HaMitzvah? Is that a Berchas Shavach? Shechianu is a Berach of praise. But it's the Mitzvah of Kiddush. And throughout the night, we're going to be doing mitzvahs that for sure have what we would call a Berchas HaMitzvah. Al Achilas Matzah, Al Achilas Marar. This time of year, right? This time of year, four out of the seven once a year brachos are said. Right? In this time of year. Right? We have three, the 24 hours of the Seder. Right? We have Al Biur Chametz the night before. And then we have four at the Seder. The three at the Seder are not said once a year for B'nai Chutz La'aretz, but Al Achilas Matzah, Al Achilas Marar, and Asher Galanu. Right, those three at the Seder, though B'nai Eretz Yisrael say that once a year, Bir Chamis the night before, and the Bracha on the Blossoms, right, that we say this month. That's five. Five of the Brachas that we say only once a year are said at this time period. L'hadlik Ner Sheyom HaKippurim and Nachim are not at this time of year. But throughout the night, we're saying different kinds of Brachas. Two of them are Birchas HaNehenin, Hamotzi, and Bar Pir Gafen, and Birchas HaMitzvah, Al Achilas Matzah, Achilas Marar. There is a gorgeous thought by Rev Soloveitchik, based on a Rambam. I gave it to you in source number 3. So this can be said at any stage of the Seder. In Shiri Harav, it's quoted in various places. You know, Rev Soloveitchik didn't write too much in his lifetime on Gemara, anything. We have the Shiurim, the Yartzeit Shiurim, but more than that, not much. But in Shiurim, but there's so much. There's been an explosion over the past 25 years or so, 35 or so since he was Nifter. But the Rambam writes in Hilchas Brachos. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Brachos in source number, it's quoted in source number 3. Beginning of source number 3. Midivrei Sofrim, the Rambam writes the three categories of Birchas of Brachos. But he links two of them. He links two of the brachas. The Rambam says on the fourth line, "Ukeshem shemavarchin al hahanoya, kach mavarchin al kol mitzvah mitzvah v'yachar kach yasosa." Just like you make a bracha on pleasure, so too you make a bracha on every mitzvah. And the question that's asked, and whenever the Rambam uses a connector word, one always has to ask why. The Rambam could just tell you make a bracha on every mitzvah, but instead he says just like you make a bracha on pleasure, so too you make a bracha on every mitzvah. Ma hakesher, as we say in this country. What is the connection between a berchas hanehenin and a berchas hamitzvah? After all, berchas hanehenin is what we call a matir. It's an allowance. Meaning, the banana doesn't belong to me before I eat it. I make a bari pri adama. Then it belongs to me. Not belongs to me. Hashem allows me to partake of it. A berchas hanehenin is a matir. That's what has to be said before you eat. What does that have to do with the berchas hamitzvah? Right, I'm going to say al achilas matzah. What is that connected? Why is that connected to a nehenin in any way? So Rav Soloveitchik says beautifully. He says it a little bit here in the halachic way, but I'll say it in the hashkafic way where he's quoted elsewhere. And that is birchas hamitzvah is also a matir. It's also a matir. What do you mean a matir? What's it? What do you need to matir? Food. You have to matir. It belongs to Hashem. Hashem eretz umeloa and avaris asan l'bnei adam. Says the Rav Soloveitchik, who says that my eating this This shouldn't be taken in any bad way. This piece of cardboard, right? Who says that my shaking this myrtle branch is going to connect me with the infinite? Who says that my going through these physical motions is going to allow me to span the gap of the finite and the infinite, to be able to allow me to have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If I say a Birchas HaMitzvah and I recognize that there's a mitzvah that told me to do this, then I have the right. It would be presumptuous for me to think that I could do something in this physical finite world that allows me to jump and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I recognize and I declare the mitzvah told me what to do, so then that's the matir. That's the kishem of the Rambam. Just like Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaNenin is a matir, it's what allows me to partake of the pleasure, so too Birchas HaMitzvah, and that's what we're doing throughout the night, first and foremost by Kiddush. By Kiddush we're saying a Bari Per Agafen, but then Asher Bachar Banu Mikalam might be a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a bracha that is a mitzvah, but there's definitely Alachilas Matz, Alachilas Marar in the Hemshech. Okay, so that gets us through Kaddish, Hakdama Kaddish, Urchatz. So we try in these Shiurim to have a little of everything. A little of Lumdis and a little of Machshava. So this is more of a Kabbalistic thought, which I can't say I'm fully, I can't say at all. But I am past 40, but Rav Shechter once said, it doesn't mean the age 40, it means you have to have the Chachma of a 40-year-old. So Rav Shechter starts crying when he says that. He says, I'm not there yet. So it'll take me a few lifetimes. But okay, so if you're Rav Lavitcher Rebbe in the Gutnik Haggadah in source number 4, he quotes the Kabbalists on Urchatz. Who notes what's the vav, right? The only simin that has a vav is urchatz. Kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz, magid rach. So why the vav? So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, source number 4. The Kabbalist taught that the various steps of the Seder allude to the different aspects of the Sviros. We know there are 10 ways of understanding the Sviros. So Omer, we get into the Sviros. Some have the minhag of talking about them and saying each Svira. So he quotes the scheme of the spheros. So he says, unlike the other sphere on the top right now, the Seder alludes to the different aspects of the spheros, the scheme of divine attributes which are mirrored in the soul of man. In particular, the first two steps, Kadesh and Urchatz, correspond to Chachma and Bina. Two types of wisdom. Chachma and Bina. And Rav Soloveitchik is going to say that these two always need to go together, and that's why there's a Vav there. Chachma and Bina. What are Chachma and Bina? We'll try to bring this down based to what he says. Chachma and Bina. Chachma, he says now on the left side, is the root, the seat of the soul's creativity. Holistic. It has an extremely broad view of concepts and ideas, and it acquires knowledge intuitively rather than rationally. Chachma is what we would call the idea, the rutzon, the holistic, what I want to do. But it doesn't focus on details. It doesn't focus on how to do it. There are many of us that have great ideas. There are many in every community, every shul. But like, to put it into like Lamaisa, I can't do that. I could come up with an idea, but you know, and then there are many that could do the work. They could tell me what to do and I'll take care of it. But they're not so creative to come up with the idea. Chachma is the idea. It's the holistic gestalt of the whole, you know, the eye. Bina focuses much more on details and data, analyzing them carefully and sequentially. It's logic as well as reason, right? So the Gemara says, Bina Yetera, women have Bina Yetera, maybe Dafka, maybe women are, the Gemara, the Seers are alluding to, women are much more getting it done with the details, and the man is just, you know, you can come up with the idea, but don't bog me down with the details. Again, different people in different relationships. That's a generalization, and it can be flipped as well. But anyway, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chachma and Bina need to go together. We need to have the push and the focus of the goal, and then the actualizing it. And that's Kaddish and Urchatz. And that's how we start, and that's what this Seder is about. The Seder is about the goal of feeling like we left Mitzrayim. Sibri is Mitzrayim. I know what the goal is. I know, remember, if I'll just add this in, again, throwing in a few things from the past, remember that there are some Rishonim that say, where's the bracha on Sibri is Mitzrayim? Where's the bracha? It's not there. Many answers given. One of the answers given by the Rishonim, the Shibali HaLeket, is we do have a bracha. It's Asher Galanu. At the end of Magid, we have a bracha on Magid. Asher Galanu. Beautiful. What's the problem? What's that doing at the end of Magid? We always make a bracha at the beginning of every mitzvah, before we do a mitzvah. So what's Asher Galanu doing there at the end? Says the Chasam Sofer, we make a bracha before we do every mitzvah, except once. There's one mitzvah that we can't make the bracha before. Okay, Alakas Ne'er Shabbos, you gotta figure it out, and Netilas Yadayim, but there's one mitzvah that you can't do before, and the Rambam says it's the only exception to the rule, and that is Tevilas Ger. A Ger cannot make a bracha before he goes into the mikvah, because he's not Jewish yet. So there, it has to be done afterwards, says the Chasam Sofer. We are going through a Geirus process at the Seder. That's the goal, to be reborn, to be able to become a new me. And that's why the bracha is at the end of Magid. Asher Ga'alanu. That's the goal. How do we get there? Kadish Urchas Karpas Yachas Magid. Going through all the steps. So that's the Chachma is the goal. And the Bina is how to get there. And we say every tefillah, we dive into Hashem. We should have Chachma, Bina, Vadas. Das is another one. But that's the Urchats. That's why there's a Vav there. And then we get to Yachats. Turning over the page. Source number four. Source number five. There's a new Haggadah from this year. If you didn't see it, I brought it. Show it on the Zoom. Haggadah Shal Pesach B'Derech Emuna Bacharti. It's written by a Rav in Ateret Kohanim, who's like the assistant to Rav Aviner, the Rosh Yeshiva. It's all about the past year and a half, the war, Divrei Torah, relating to the Archayalim Giborim. It's unbelievable. It was called Alam El Chamos, but the week before he was about to publish it, Agam Berger was released, and what she wrote, we'll talk about that. B'derech Emuna Bacharti, and that's what he said, I have to name the Haggadah that. So that's the, feel free, look at your local bookstore. Mordechai Tzion is the Rav of that put it out. So he says here on Yachatz, fascinating. Source number five. Yachatz, what do we do? We break the middle matzah. So there's many symbolisms to the three matzahs. One of the symbolisms is Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Read the three avos are the three matzahs. So we break the middle matzah. It's all here. I'm not going to read to save time. We break the middle matzah. We break Yitzchak. We break the middle matzah. We break Yitzchak. What are we breaking? What's Yitzchak? We break Yitzchak in half. So first he says, remember the Gemara in Shabbos? Gemara in Shabbos, Peites. It's the one chazal where Yitzchak is like the main player. Yitzchak is the most silent av in Torah Shebichsav and in Torah Shebalpe. But this is the Gemara. Remember the Gemara? Hashem wants to destroy the Jewish people, and Avram can't defend them, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov can't defend them. And finally, Yitzchak, what do you say? Yitzchak's like, okay, Hashem, how much did they sin? Yitzchak starts doing math. Right? What does he say? How much did they sin? The average person lives 70 years. Shivim Shana. You know what? Half their life they're sleeping. You can't fault them for that. I'm sorry, I skipped a step. The first 20 years they're not punished b'day shamayim. So, we're down to 50. Then they're sleeping half the time. It's a lot of sleep. Right, so 25 years take off. So it's 25 years left. 25 years left. Then take off another half because they're involved in their basic human needs. You can't fault them for that. And we discussed that in the past. What's on the list of basic human needs? Eating, bathroom, davening. Unbelievable. Those are the basic human needs. Eating, bathroom, davening. So we're down to 12 and a half. So what does Yitzchak say? Hashem, could you handle 12 and a half years of sin? Right? And if you can't, you know what? I'll take half. Palga alayu, palga alecha. Half on me, half on you. That's the remez. We split the matzah in half. Is this Yitzchak? Half on me, half, and the next line of the Gemara, and Yitzchak says, and if you can't handle any of it, I gave my life at the Akedah, case closed. That's the end of the Gemara. But maybe that breaking of the matzah into two halves, we remember this sechus of Yitzchak, palga alayu, palga alecha. But then he goes one step further, relating it to the last line of that Gemara. Where he says, remember the Rashi quotes in Parshas B'chukosai. The Pasuk says, Zacharti es brisi Yaakov, Vav es brisi Yitzchak, Vav es brisi Avraham, Ezkar v'aretz Ezkar. So Rashi quotes there that there's a lashon of Zechira by Yaakov and by Avraham, but not by Yitzchak. Right? Zacharti es brisi Yaakov, Vav es brisi Yitzchak, Vav es brisi Avraham Ezkar. So Yaakov and Avraham get a Zechira. Yitzchak doesn't. Why not? What does Rashi say? I don't need to remember Yitzchak. His ashes are in front of me all the time. That's the Chazal. And ask all the Mefarshei Rashi, what are you talking about? The ashes of Yitzchak are in front of Hashem. He wasn't burned. What kind of ashes are you talking about? There's no ashes. There was the Yitzchak's there. So he says, you're right. It wasn't that Yitzchak. But it was all the Yitzchak since then. All the ones whose ashes are in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that doesn't need a zechira. And he says, we've, Rachmana Litzlan, added on to that over the past years, but Hashem doesn't have to remember them because they're right in front of him. That's the Yitzchak, the symbol of Mesiras Nefesh. You see, towards the second to last paragraph. Ke'es nimcha yitzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Efer Yitzchak, lo Yitzchak echad, ela Yitzchakim rabim, kol osam kedoshim utahorim, shepil sulanu as derech hachayim. Those who allow us. As Maisa Avram, Yaakov, Sarach Lizka. You gotta remember an Avraham. You gotta remember a Yaakov. You don't have to remember a Yitzchak. Achaz Masi Yitzchak, Elu Mosri HaNefesh, Ein Sarach Lasos Pulok B'Yichay LeZichram. And when we break the matzah, we remember the schus of Yitzchak. We remember our Yitzchaks as well. Okay. So now we're get up to Magid. We get up to Magid, and we have a comment of the Sfas Emes in source number 6 from Tafresh Mem. Tafresh Mem, where the Sfas Emes writes, relating to the question we asked before, why there's no bracha on Magid. Why there's no bracha on Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim. So Sfas Emes tells us, in one line, towards the end of source number 6, Mashi Mevarchin Berchas HaMitzvahs Al Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim Yesh Lomar, Shehu Davar Amuto Aleinu Ba'atzmeinu Gamim Loa Yinu Mitzuven Al Zos, V'lo Shayach Al Zebrach. What's he saying? We've said something in the past about the end of the Seder, and the Sfas Emes is saying it here at the beginning of the Seder. Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim shouldn't be something that we are obligated to do. Okay, we are now obligated to thank God for giving us freedom for dot, dot, dot. No! It should be something natural. It should be something that we should want to do and just we can't not do it. That's where there's no bracha on Hallel, we've discussed in the past. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that's where there's no bracha on Kibud Av Va'Em. You know, my father asked me to do something. I will now listen to my father because the Torah commands me to. No, that's not why you listen to your father. You listen to your father because you love your father and it's natural and you have... Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim should not be something mechanical, robotic. It should be something that naturally flows. And that's what the Sfas Emes says, V'lo shayach al zebracha. V'lo shayach al zebracha. And he quotes the Gemara, Avna Felimare, Lacheris. Okay. Now we move on to the beginning of Magid, Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya, Rabbi Sachs writes in his Agadah, source number 7. Well, what kind of invitation is this? What kind of invitation we say, you know, who's ever hungry, kol dichven yesev yechol, kol dizra yesev yifsach. Many point out the halachic problems with that. Anyway, you can't invite somebody to eat your korban Pesach. It's too late. You have to be appointed before the shechita. So it's even a lie. Right? It's even a lie. So you don't even, what's it about? So many say, in different ways, that this is not a real invitation, but it is a symbolizing something. Says Rabbi Sachs, what hospitality is there to offer the hungry the taste of suffering? In fact, though, this is a profound insight into the nature of slavery and freedom. As noted, matzah represents two things, right? The bread of oppression. What transforms the bread of oppression into the bread of freedom is the willingness to share it with others. Rav Soloveitchik said it in a way of, the butler doesn't invite people. Only the free people. Right? The help in the house don't invite and say who's coming, who's inviting. So inviting is a symbol that I'm free, that I'm in charge, that I'm a boss. I'm not an eved anymore. Rabbi Sachs says it, that's Rav Soloveitchik. Rabbi Sachs says it in a little different way. Anyone who has the ability to share shows they are free. And he quotes a story from the Holocaust. According to Levy, the worst time of all was when the Nazis left in January 1945, fearing the Russian advance, the death march. For 10 days, they were left alone with only scraps of fuel, vachulu. When the broken window was repaired and the stove began to spread its heat, something seemed to relax in everyone. Vachulu, and it continues. Only a day before, a similar event would have been inconceivable. The law of the lager said, eat your own bread, and if you can, that of your neighbor, and left no room for gratitude. It was the first, did I skip the right part? Go back for a second. The only people left in the camp were those too ill to move. For 10 days they were alone with only scraps of fuel. Levi describes how he worked to light a fire and bring some warmth to his fellow prisoners, many of them dying. And he then writes, Bechulet, he writes how they shared. It was the first human gesture that occurred among us. I believe that that moment can be dated as the beginning of the change by which we who had not died slowly changed from prisoners to men. Sharing food is the first act through which slaves become free human beings. One who fears tomorrow does not offer his bread to others. The ability to share and to give is an act of cheirus, is an act of bechira chafshis. I'm choosing to share. A slave just takes what he has. Even if he's a slave and he shares, that's showing he has some freedom in his slavery. Okay, so that's halach ma'anya. We invite because we reflect that we are free. And then we get into manishtana. Manishtana. Remember, again, I say it every year, but I'll continue saying it every year. In the Baruch Chaim, he writes that if you look in the Rambam, this many point out, the Rambam says, V'kana ben Shoel, V'omer akore manishtana. We discussed in the past, according to the Rambam, manishtana are not questions, but it's really a statement. V'omer hakore, the reader says, manishtana, halayla hazeh, as if to say, wow, how different is this night? Ma rabu masech Hashem, manishtana halayla hazeh. But right before that, the Rambam says, V'kana ben Shoel. Here the son asks. I mean, the son asks whatever he wants. Why are you wearing a kittel? Why is everything so nice tonight? V'kana ben Shoel. And then V'omer akore. But he says there's a special skula, V'kana ben Shoel, we're the bunny, to ask Hashem for things at this moment. V'kana ben Shoel. Am I Seder? We always announce. We have a moment where everybody just stop and think for 30 seconds. Quietly, eyes closed, we all have what to ask for. Right? V'kan ha-ben Shoel. Here the son asks. Tonight's our national birthday. We have the ability to ask. And then we get into Manishtana. And yeah, we have a thought here from the Kol Aryeh Haggadah, source number 8. The Kol Aryeh tells us, right, tonight is called Lel Shimurim. Lel Shimurim, the night that is guarded. The night that is guarded. So, again, he quotes here a little more symbolic, and he gets a little bit into the Kabbalistic. But he quotes, what makes this Shimurim? It's Arach Bir Lama. So he quotes, V'noda, Ki Laila Mora Al Cheshkas V'dinim V'yom Al Chasadim. We know, Laila, nighttime, is Midas Hadin. And morning is Midas Harachamim. When it's dark, it's more strict. When it's light, it's bright. L'hagid Baboker, Chastecha V'munascha Balelos. Night is Din. Day is Rachamim. Yakeb et Yom Mitzrayim. Osa Laila Haya Meir Kayom. The night that we went out of Mitzrayim, it was like day. Laila Kayom Yair. Lorameis Shekaladinim Shesavu B'Mitzrayim Haya Yom Rachasadim Tovim. To teach us that everything we went through was really, you see, as Mitzrayim, it looked like Din, but ultimately it was Chesed. Kasher Nizgal Lohem Oz Be'Emes. Like we realized afterwards. What we're asking is, why is this night different? This night has rachamim in it. Usually night is din, it's strict, and tonight, look what happened. Tonight, there was geula, shebechal halelos, and he quotes, shebechal halelos an ochlim chamitzumata, halayla ze kulo matzah. He says, we always eat chametz, but tonight's only matzah. And he quotes, it's known from the Zohar. I guess we'll make it known. It's known from the Zohar that chametz symbolizes din and matzah symbolizes rachamim. Usually nights you have din and rachamim, matzah and chametz, but tonight is only matzah. It's only rachamim. V'yalkein shoa manishtana alayla zeh mikol alaylos, loma heyer alayla hazeh kayom. Alayla zeh nizkala kula matzah v'chulu avadim ayinu. And then we answer avadim ayinu. Aren't we still somewhat advadim? No, just like we realize Shibud and Geulat Mitzrayim was all part of the plan, we realize every Shibud and Geula is part of the plan. And we realize, and we couldn't realize it during the 210 years, we did not feel at all or realize that this was part of the plan. We were just subjugated and tortured only on the way out. So as we feel and we believe on the way out of this long and difficult galus, right, we we know that it's going to be rachem. Avadim ayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. So that's the beginning of the answer now. Avadim ayinu. This is the one thing I think I'm repeating. Rabbi Lam in his Agada, source number 9, tells us avadim ayinu leparo. So paro is mentioned here for the first time. So paro is really the name of the position. It's not a personal name. Right? There were paros throughout. Paro is like president. Just like Avimelech is the name in Gror. That's what paro is. So Rabbi Lam says, isn't it interesting that we don't know which pharaoh this was, and all the scientists and historians try to figure out which pharaoh this was? So it's nowhere. Who was this paro? Considering his important role in the narrative, one wonders why his title is always used, but his name never. So Rabbi Lam quotes an interesting answer. Had his name been provided by the Torah, historians and psychologists and novelists would have speculated about him, especially his childhood, suggesting probable reasons for his atrocious behavior. He was weaned too early or too late. He had a harsh father, or his mother was overprotective. Some of these speculations may be true, but most probably not so. But from the Torah's point of view, it doesn't make a difference. No matter what his upbringing, we ought judge a person, especially a leader, by his or her actions, and insist upon accountability. By providing a name and thus an identity, we open the door to excuses, and thence to the erosion of personal responsibility. The explanations of the causes of a person's behavior may be of legitimate concern to a therapist treating a moral political monster, but to the masses of his victims, that is of no consequence whatsoever. It's just paro. And that applies to any anti-Semite that has walked the face of the earth in history. There's no excuse, as much as it could be explained, of the why and the what and the how. Because as Rabbi Sachs writes in other of his Sfarim, right, anti-Semitism is like a virus. It just takes different, you know, here it looks, hey, Jews are too rich and Jews are too poor and Jews are too smart and Jews are too dumb, whatever it is. But it's just, it doesn't make a difference because we judge people by their actions and not by behind the scenes excuses. So that's Avadim Ayinu Leparo, and that's what we realize about our enemies, but we realize they're not around anymore. They're not around anymore. As I've quoted in the past, I think a number of years ago, I was in the British Museum for a Friday. One time between recruiting, I went with some of my Talmidim. I remember it was a Friday of Parshas Bo. Why do I remember that? Because of this story. So we're going through different rooms, and all of a sudden we're in the Egypt room. And we see all these artifacts from that time. And you see all these things. This is when the Egyptians persecuted the Hebrews and all these things and the pharaohs and the mummies and all of a sudden it hit me. I said to my Talmud, I said, you see any Egyptians here? See any of the ancient Egyptians here? Did we see any Phoenicians in the other room over there? Or Assyrians in the Asher room? I think I must have missed them. Did we see any Persians in the Achashverosh room? The Hebrews are still around. The Hebrews are still here. Right, with all the pharaohs and with all their excuses, we're still here. Okay, we continue. About the Mayinu, Maaseh Rebbe Eliezer. So we have the story of the five rabbis that were up all night until Higia Kriya Shma Shel Shachar. So if you look in the Shemi Shmuel Haggadah, on one side is the Shemi Shmuel, on the other side is the son of the Shemi Shmuel, the Chasdei David. Right, that's the son of the Shemi Shmuel. That's the third, right? It's his father is, the Eglei Tal and the Avnei Nezer and the Shemi Shmuel, father, son. They're more famous than the third of the Sachat Shavers, the Chasdei David. So Chasdei David writes in his Agada, what's the message of, Ad Shehigia Kriya Shma Shel Shachris? This relates to a little bit what we said a couple of minutes ago, but he quotes there that there are two levels of emunah, two types of emunah that we could have. In the heart, and in the mind. In the heart, believing and knowing. There's a difference. V'yesh tei bechinos be'emunah, he writes on the right side. Ha'bechino ha'achas ye'emunah belev, shema m'shekenu. I believe in my heart. Ach yesh bechina emunah gam b'moach. Ha'inu shema min b'koach kol kach hazak, achadavar etzlo kilu roe b'ena mamish. Not just I believe it. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik once said, Emunah starts where Yediyah finishes. Right? Emuna starts where if you know, you don't have to believe. But what he's saying here is that there's a level beyond where you could be so clear in your belief that it turns into a yediyah.
Like
we related to before. Dar, kilu ena roe, I believe. But by day it's clear, it's light. So the goal of our life, even though we might not ever get there, is to have as much clarity as we can in our emuna, even though sometimes in life it is so not clear. And that's okay too. That's okay too. Because there's a mitzvah called emunah. A mitzvah means we'll never get there, but some mitzvahs are just to yearn as far as we could get. Maybe we'll have moments of yediyah, and maybe we'll have moments of emunah, just hargasha. But through the night, they worked on themselves, these five rabbis, until they came to Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, when it was so clear, emes v'yatziv. It was yatziv. It was strong. It was, unshakable. Shakeable, but it was not moving anywhere. They went from emes v'emuna to emes v'yatziv. And that's what they worked on through appreciating of what happened that night. Okay, and then we move on to Amar Rabbi Elazar Aroner, Eini Kiven Shivim Shana. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, remember this is the paragraph about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Unlike Sipur, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, where we quote the Mishnah in Brachos. Right? Remember the paragraph? He says, Ani hare ani kiven shivim shana. I am like 70 years old. He really wasn't 70. I always, whenever I say this, I have many Haggadah Shirim with various Talmidim. I always say, this is the part of the Seder that remember when you get married to talk about your wife and everything she did, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, remember, he was like 70, remember the story. They came to him because they had removed Rabbi Gamliel as the Nasi. They wanted him to be the next Rosh Hashiva. So they come to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this whole rabbinic entourage, and they say, will you be our chief rabbi? And he says, he should say, yes, of course, yes, I've been dreaming about this job. What does he say? I have to ask my wife. What's his wife going to say? What does his wife have to do with anything? So the Bali Musar, the Mefarshim explain, if you're the chief rabbi, you're going to be out of the house a lot, not going to be home for bath time, right? You're not going to be on the lecture circuit. You can't move up into your spirituality stepping on the toes of your wife. So he goes to his wife and says, what answer he wants to hear? Honey, I got this job. Is it okay? And what does she say? No. She says, maybe they'll fire you tomorrow. What does he say? Better to be a glass kli for one day than an earthenware kli all my life. And then she says, but you don't have a white beard. And miraculously, he was only 18 years old. And overnight, he grew a white beard. And that's why he says, Hare ani kiven shivim shana. I am like. But the message is that you always got to speak to your wife because she runs the show. And she's got the bina, as we said before. Right? So it's a good place to talk about it. But anyway, so there's a story quoted here in the Haggadah Asapar Kavotcha about the Malbim. The Malbim, one of the greats of the 1800s, the Malbim became Rav when he was very young. And some were complaining. He's such a young guy. Such a young rabbi. The Shagas Aryeh became rabbi at age 70. He came to Metz and they say, we're not sure. He's like, I guarantee you at least 20 years. They're like, okay. So he lived, he was 90. That was it. The Malbim gets up in shul. And he asked this kasha. He says, how could you be such a young rabbi? So the kachamah, this is what he said. We see here, Elazar ben Azariah in the Haggadah. Hare ani kiven shivim shana. I'm like 70 years old. Zachisi shitiyam ratzias mitzrayim balelo. So remember the continuation. I wasn't zochet to know that there's a mitzvah of zachir, yisiyat mitzrayim at night. Ad shidrasha ben zoma. Until ben zoma. Darshins. Yimecha yecha yomim. Koy mecha yecha lelos. But reisha shalom albim. But ma kavanash b'mashamar v'lo zachisi. What does it mean, velo zachisi? It's an unusual lashon. I didn't merit velo zachisi. The Yod Kasha. And he says, Hayim Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah atzmo lo yada lidrosh es drashoso shel ben zoma. What, he had to wait for ben zoma to darshan it? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, one of the greatest of Tanaim. What's the lashon of velo zachisi? why did Rabbi Zmanazari darshan it? He says, no, there's something being hinted to here. And then he quotes the story that we just quoted about Kiven Shivim Shana. And then he says, Alpize Yivor Amalbim. Rabbi Zmanazari was saying, Velo Zachisi Shete Omer Yisias Misraim Balelos. Hainu. Emes Hadavar Shagamaneo Deas Hadrasha. I know the drasha also. But Velo Zachisi She Yishmu Ledvarai, I didn't merit that they would listen to me, Acha Drasha Benzoma, until they darshined and they realized what Benzoma said. What did Benzoma say? In Pirkei Avos, Eze Uchacham, Halome Mikol Adam. Acha Drasha Benzoma, Mikomalamda Yiskalti, and once they darshined Benzoma, then they can listen to me about the drasha of Zechir Sisi's Besrayim. Mishim Kachsiyim Amalbim, Gamanishis Banesi Kan Larav Aleichem, Avakesh Bimchem, Kimu as Divrei Benzoma, follow the Divrei Benzoma of Halomi Mikol Adam, judge for the content and not for the age. And age is just a number, as they say. Okay. We continue. Says the Gemara, Baruch HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah, La'amo Yisrael. So if you look on the left side now, source 12, that's Rav Meir Goldich's Haggadah. Haggadah Meir Panim. So in his Haggadah, he writes a little thought on Baruch HaMakom. Why dafka the word HaMakom here? We've discussed that in the past. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Schwab. But he quotes here, B'lala Seder, Metarim Zakadosh Baruch Hu B'Torah HaMakom. Lirmos, to hint to us. Shebori Olam Rotze, Shenargish, Hashem wants us to feel. Sha'anachnu lo avadim o po'alim shalo. We are not just workers and servants. Ela shutafim leim en HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're partners. We're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He needs us. We've discussed in past years the amazing thought of the Sefer HaIkarim. That was Brisbane Abisarim. Brisbane Abisarim means there was a connection and two became one. So whatever that means, he needs us and we need him. We're partners. Hare maftech l'gol shutfes ba'olam. The key to any partnership in the world is to give space to the other. If I take up all the space in a relationship, then the relationship's not going to work. I need to give space, whether it's a business partner, whether it's in a job, bein ba'al ve'isha, ovid u'mavid, husband and wife, employee, employer, shutafim ba'avodah, hu ha'makom shekol echad nosin luzulaso. Hashem gives us makom. Baruch ha'makom. Tonight's our birthday. Baruch ha'makom. Hashem's called ha'makom because he gives us space. He gives us b'chira chafshus. He didn't have to do that. He gives us. He allows us. Hakadosh Baruch nosin lanu makom ba'olamo v'rotze shekam anachnu notein lo makom. So we should give him makom. He gives us makom, but we should also. We shouldn't try to take over him. I've quoted in the past the Sfas Emes in Parshas Kedoshim, where the Sfas Emes says, if you remember, that there's a mitzvah of Mora Hashem. It means in awe of Hashem. Hashem kechatira. So what does that mean? Lomaisa. So he says, compare it to, you have to be more from your parents. There's not just kibud avaim, but there's Mora of avaim. I'm not allowed to sit in my father's chair. That's not kibud. That's Mora. That's Mora. That might even apply all of Hashalom after my father is nifter. If he has a specific chair they used to sit in. Right? But there's Mora. You can't sit in your father's chair. So Sfas Emes says, don't sit in God's chair. Meaning, if Hashem is driving and you're in the back seat, don't tell him what to do. It's really annoying. Right? I think you should get off at the next exit. Hashem doesn't think so. He has his own ways. Right? And he knows. So that would be taking up Hashem's space. Right? We have to leave space for Hashem because he leaves space for us. Baruch HaMakom. And now we get to the sons. Let's do two sons. The first and last. Baruch HaMakom says the Ksav Sofer on the Chacham. Source number 13. The Ksav Sofer deals with the question and he answers it based on something that his father says. The Chazam Sofer. Ma bir shiel zachacham, what's the pshat of the Chacham's question? Ma avodah zos lachem. Right, what is this avodah that you're doing? Ubiyoser yesh lahavin. And also, meaning what's with all these mitzvahs? Avodah zos. And also, the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha, as we know, many ask. The Rasha excludes himself. Ma avodah zos, I'm sorry, I misquoted. Ma avodah zos lachem, that's the Rasha. The Chacham says, "Mohaidus v'achukim asher tziv Hashem lokeinu aschem." Right? So what are all these mitzvahs? But many ask, they both exclude each themselves. Right? The Chacham says aschem, and the Rasha says lachem. What's the difference? So what's the biur of the question of the Chacham? Mohaidus v'achukim. So he quotes from his father, the Chassam Sofer. He says, he gives a mashal relating to mitzvos. He says, "Mekubal ba'olam, shakasher shnei ohavim ne'alatzim lafrid ish me'al re'eu." What if two acquaintances, friends, have to part ways? Right, they're going away from each other. Hey, ma'anikim zel lazet tmuna chefetz ishi lemaskeret. They give each other some token of remember me. They give something to remember. Tavket amaskeres mishtaneh petem agodol la'ava bein hashnayim. The item that's deposited with each other depends on how close you are. Depends on how close you are. If it's stam acquaintances, stam yedidim, right? So you give something, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Stam something. Ulam kasher him nefredes mi bna yakira. But if they're very, very close, they're not going to forget each other. Eich shashi tishkach mimenu. Ki charuz aluach liba. Right? Bechalzos. So what's the purpose of that item? It's not about remembering. Because you're going to remember. It's a child. It's a cloak. Bechalzos gamino teles mimenu es tmunaso. You take something that belongs to them, that reminds me something, not just stam, a trinket, but something that is so personal, that connects me to the other person. Right? You take some of the hair, a picture, so that I see it and I feel it and I re-experience the closeness through that item. So he says, that's the question of the Chacham. Who had the mitzvah tzitzis? You have tzitzis, he says, u'reisem oso zachartem. Right, so what are tzitzis about? Or mitzvahs in general, specifically tzitzis. Right, mitzvahs are there, oh, so we don't forget Hashem? It's type one or type two? It's deeper. Right, it's that this is like a picture that we look at, that we caress, that we connect deeply with. Right, we tzitzis, doma layam, doma larakia, doma lakisya kavid. Lefizeh says the Chassam Sofer giving Mishalom about mitzvahs in general. So now, says the Chassam Sofer, towards the bottom, Tuvan Heitiv, Shilas HaChacham, he says, Moha Eidus Archivas Elokeinu Eschem, Laso Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are so many mitzvahs that are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Li Ein Tzarech B'chozeh, Ki B'lav Achi Eni Tamen El Hashem. I think about Hashem all day. Why are there so many mitzvahs? So what do we answer the Chacham? Right, the Chacham said, I don't need type one. So what do we answer him? They're type two. Ein mafir nachar pesach afikomen, which means the taste should stay with you. That's the purpose of our mitzvahs. It's not just about doing the mitzvah, but it's about taking a Kodesh Baruch Hu with us through the experience of the mitzvahs. Obviously, you can't just feel, you gotta do. You can't just love Shabbos, you gotta do Shabbos. But that's the category, that's what the Chacham is really asking. There are so many mitzvahs that are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the Ramban's Kasha at the end of Parshas Bo, but we realize there's a lot more to it, and life's about getting the most out of it, and not just going through the motions. And one other thought on another son, the Eini Yodea Lish'ol, in Source 15. This is from the Haggadah of Rav Aviner. In Source 15, he quotes Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. There are so many great stories about Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. Okay, I got no, just one more. But remember Rabbi Asher Weiss quotes this in his Haggadah. We mentioned this in past years, that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, towards the beginning of the Seder, he's going past, actually, it's perfect because it's about the sons, right? He was going past he likes to go past the simpletons of town in Barditchev. So he goes past a town and he hears from inside the house, he hears, Echad, Chacham. The Echad, Russia. The Echad. What is going on here? Right? Echad, Chacham, Echad, Chacham. He goes, he knocks on the door, he's like, what's going on? He's like, I'm up to the four sons. He says, but what are you with the Echad? He says, I remember when I was a little boy, I learned that if you're Marich be'Echad, you get long life. You get long life. The Gemara is talking about Shema, Hashem Echad. But this, so he turns up to Shemayim and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, it takes us all night to reach Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. The whole night we're working to get to, and this man is the beginning of the Seder. He's already there. He's already achot. So Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak here in 15, also about the sons, when he got to the Eni Yodei Lashol, Haya Omer, She'eni Yodei Lashol, Harizei Ani, Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, Eni Yodei Lashalcha. He says to Hashem, Hashem, I don't know how to ask. Ribono Shel Olam, V'li Yodati Klum Yimla Eni Libi, I don't know how to formulate my question. And if I even did, would I be able to? Heicha Hin L'Shol Otcha, Alma Ba Aleinu Kol Zeh. Could I ask you about life? We are all Einu Yodea Lishol. Mipnei Ma Rishoyim Soneinu La'anoseinu Kolkach. Why our enemies for the past 2,000 years, Ad Hayom Hazeh Mamish, want to hurt us and torture us? Einu Yodea Lishol Hashem, Ad Psachlo. We don't know how to ask. You know what? What does it say in the Haggadah? Hashem, you have to start. At Psachlo. Shenamar v'igato labincha. Ani ribona shalolam arbincha. Ani Hashem, I'm your son. And I'm the Eini Yodei Lishol. Eini mevachish bimcha shetekal li talumas darkecha. Avo psachli. Open up. Open up a little bit so I may understand. Hadvarim shemisrach shemata. Ma kivanta elai. Mahim darshim imeni. Hashem, what do you want from me? What do you want from us? Please just open up your heavens to show us, to tell us, to hint to us. Let me know, because we are all Eini Yodea Lishol. And then we get to Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. I might have thought that the mitzvah of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim starts on Rosh Chodesh. Nisan, Kamash Malan. No, you can't do it early. You got to do it the night of the Seder. And there are some questions in every Haggadah, including this one. What's the Havamina? Why would I have thought I don't have a Havamina to sit in the Sukkah before Sukkis or blow shofar Lahalacha before Rosh Hashanah? So why Dafka do we have the Havamina by Pesach? So here, if you have in the source 16, in the Haggadah of Achdus, that's the Haggadah with thoughts from Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Kook, and Rav Shlomo Kalbach. So each one is different than the other. We're not, that's the Haggadah that puts them all together. But anyway, source 16. So he quotes here a thought from the Rav Soloveitchik, from the Rav. Mishpat zeh ha'agadah hu begeder chida. Madua sh'adam yachshov. Why would I have thought it starts earlier? Right? You got the Vilcha B'yamahu. So he quotes, Hezber le'inyin areka, ma'uto ruchanir ha'mamika shel Rosh Chodesh. What's Rosh Chodesh about? Right? He quotes two ideas. The first paragraph, I think, is based on a hesped Rav Soloveitchik once gave, and he called somebody Rosh Chodesh man. What makes him Rosh Chodesh man? Rosh Chodesh is the secret moed. Every other holiday, there's Isra Malacha, and there's a Chiyuv Seuda. You know, it's Yantif. Rosh Chodesh, it's quiet. You go to work on Rosh Chodesh. There's no Chiyuv Seuda on Rosh Chodesh. But there's a Karban Musaf in there. And there's something special about Rosh Chodesh. He called this person Rosh Chodesh man. On the outside, he looked regular and simple, and inside he wasn't. So that's Rosh Chodesh. But where does this, that's his first paragraph. But then where does this come from? So he quotes an idea that we know. The nations of the world are compared to the sun. And the Jewish people are compared to the moon. And the moon waxes and wanes. The moon is not constant. And the moon is, always, doing its reflection. And we count from the moon, we are represented by the moon. And again, I skipped a line. He says, and Rosh Chodesh is the only holiday that's not based on a historical event, but it's based on a monthly phenomenon. And he says the Jewish people are a phenomenon in reality. And we are, we don't stay the same. We have our ups and downs, but we're much more connected to the moon than we are to the sun. Especially the birth that we went through, Pesach, Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. Maybe we should start at Rosh Chodesh. I'll add, Rosh Chodesh, where you can't even see the moon. And the growth starts right then. Little by little by little, and maybe that's where everything started, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Kamash Bola, no, you need the Maisa HaMitzvos. And therefore, we don't start then, but that's the Havamina that we, that's the Havamina that we would. And then we say Mitchila, we fulfill the mitzvah of Sibritzias Mitzrayim, Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. We started off as of the Avodah Zarah, and Rav Soloveitchik writes in the Siach HaGrid, in Source 17, we know the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, well, the Mishnah says you have to be maskel begedusa mesayim b'shvach. We have to start lowly, mesayim b'shvach, and end up on the high. So what does it mean, maskel begedusa mesayim b'shvach? So we know it's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Do you focus on the spiritual? Do you focus on the physical? Rav Amar, on the top right, mitchila, I'm in 17. I'm really trying to stay on the papers and not get off track. Mitchila over the avodas gilulim hayu avoseinu, Rav says, Avodah Zarah, that's this paragraph. Mitchil de Avodah Zarah, Avoseinu, Ushmuel Amar Avodah Mayinu. And Shmuel says Avodah Mayinu. So Shmuel says the physical, which we did already earlier, and Rav says the spiritual. Vadu Osim Kedere Shneim. What's the root of the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? Ubevira Machlokas Rav and Shmuel says Rav Soloveitchik, Nira de Nechlaku Mahaya Ikra Shibur Mitzrayim. What's the focus? What's the Iker Sheba that we should be thinking about tonight? Because if you think about it, there's no right and wrong answer. On the one hand, we were physically tortured. And our babies were killed. And backbreaking labor. The physical bondage of over 200 years. Actually, not focus on that. But then you think about, we went into Mitzrayim as the Shiftei Ka. And we ended off on the 49th level of Tumah. And we were almost gone. Like maybe the spiritual. And we lost it. And we were over the Avodah Zarah. So what do you focus on? So that's the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Rav's over Ikra Shibra Yashibra Hanafshi. Shamitzriyim Shibdu Asnafshom Shabbanei Yisrael. The Mitzriyim Shibdu. They persecuted us. They subjugated us. Achen Ishtaku B'memte Shari Tuma until we went to the 49th level of Tumah, which again is not in Shas. That is a Arizal topic. The Iker Geula Shagolos and Hakadosh Baruch Hu Gamkei Kirvono Makan Levodaso and Aslanos Torah is spiritual. That's what you focus on. And Shmuel says no. Shmuel says the physical. Iker Ashibra Ashibra Agashmi Shehevidu Mesharim Zmei Zobafarech. Shmuel was into the physical. My father always loved to quote that Shmuel was a doctor. I don't know if that connects to the idea that the physical ailments. And he says, you can't ignore that. Obviously, Shmuel would say the goal is Matan Torah and spiritual, but the Shibud, Avagula mi Mitzrayim, Bikara Yisrael mi Shibud Gashmi. Eliyesh La'ayeni just quotes. He quotes, B'divrei Rav HaSover, Domer Mitchil Avdei Avodah Zarah. According to Rav, Matchil Mi'ini Avodah Zarah Shayi B'mei Terach. For Rav, who says, you really could skip over Avadim Ayinu L'Parav Mitzrayim. Right, is that a possibility? Right, the mitzvah, of course. Says Rav Soloveitchik, it must be that everybody agrees you have to mention Shibud HaGuf. What, you don't have to mention Mitzrayim? All the Avodah Zarah? Says of Soloveitchik, it must be that everybody holds Avodah Mayinu L'Parav Mitzrayim. The machlokas is you have to also mention Tchili of the Avodah Zarah Hayavoseinu. We definitely need to focus on the Shibud HaGuf, the physical bondage that we went through, that we were redeemed from. The question is, do we also go to the roots of the beginning of the theology of our religion? And that is what the machlokas is between Rav and Shmuel. And then we go into Baruch Shomer HaTachasa LeYisrael. Hashem kept his promise. Baruch Shomer HaTachasa LeYisrael. Blessed is Hashem who kept his promise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishiv is HaKeitz. And he brought the Geula. And the questions asked by many Mefarshim, It's Hashem, you're the best. You kept your promise. What? He shouldn't have kept his promise. That's a question that is dealt with. But this year we'll deal with it different. He kept his promise of Geula, but we know he also keeps his promise of Geula. Remember the first mitzvah in the smock. Sefer mitzvahs katan, wala bali atosvas. Mitzvah number one is emuna. But in that mitzvah, he says, the mitzvah of emuna is to believe just like Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We also believe that he will take us out. And that's part of the mitzvah of Tzipisa Yeshua. Right? He asked the Kasha, those questions that we're going to be asked, Masechah Shabbos. What mitzvah is there of Tzipisa Yeshua? The other ones are connected to mitzvahs. Peruvu, Talmud Torah, right? Honest in business. Tzipisa Yeshua, where's that mitzvah? Yeah, it's the mitzvah of Emunah. We believe. So part of this Baruch Shomer is that we believe that Hashem kept his promise and he will keep his promise. And he will keep his promise of taking us to the future Geula. But Rav Drukman wrote a whole Sefer related to the idea of, so why is it taking so long? Kima Kima. That's the name of the Sefer, of his numerous Svarim. So the various approaches, I just gave you one. Hashem kept and keeps his promise. But he writes there in 18, why does it take so long? So his answer that he gives here at this section is that it's for our benefit. Because Hashem doesn't want to shock us. After being so distant from him for so long, if he would just like say, hi, I'm here, Geula, Beis HaMikdash, we wouldn't be able to handle it. Remember Maamar Har Sinai? Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what happened? We died. Hashem brought us back to life. He says, Lo Yielach Alem Acherim, we died. He brought us back to life again. And we said, Moshe, could you take over? So it has to be done bahadraga. It has to be done step by step. And the Medrash gives a model for this. It's happened once before. Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avichai. And the brothers were in shock. Even though Yosef kept dropping them hints, they couldn't handle it. Nivhalu mipanav. And that was Yosef, right? Look on the bottom. Tzeilu mami Yosef. Shebeshashin izvada le'echav l'achar kamashonim. Amalam yo, ani Yosef acheichem. V'lo yochlo echav noso so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu alachas kama v'kama. The Medrash says that's why. It's going to happen in stages. It's going to happen in stages. Right? 150 years ago. 175 years ago. Started Kibbutz Golios. The 1850s. Jews started coming back. For 2,000 years there were none. Right? In the 1850s, there were 6,000 Jews in the land of Israel at that time. Right? At the end of the 1890s, there were 60,000. Unbelievable. 1948, there were 600,000. In 70 years, from 1850 to whatever, less than 100 years. From 6,000 to 600,000. 75 years later, 6 million. That's not Kibbutz Golios. Mamish in front of our eyes. It never happened for 2,000 years. Kadosh Baruch Hu is getting it ready. Literally, he's paving the way. He's paving the highways. Right? Every time you see a new road, we're going to come back and then it's going to be all dirt. We have to have every time there's a highway built. And Baruch Hashem, in this country, generally, when a highway is built, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. Right? There's a plan. It might take a little longer, but you actually see success. And you see the goal. You know, there are certain highways in the New York area that have been under construction my entire life. And it looks worse than they started. But Maven Yavin, depending where, I've lived in Brooklyn, I've lived in the Five Towns, and wherever you come from, those highways have had construction on it forever. But that's Kima Kima. It's a process because he's getting it ready for us, but he is Shomer Haftachaso, right? He is keeping his promise to us. And then we have Vihisha Amda. Vihisha Amda, which is based on continuation of Baruch Shomer. Hashem kept his promise. Vihisha Amda. There are so many varts on Vihisha Amda, but the Pashup Shad is Vihi. It's this promise. Vihisha Amda. Hashem kept his promise. Shalo Echad Bilvad Amar Al Erchan Loseinu. So this is the only time I'm going to repeat from a Haggadah. I thought this year we could repeat from the Haggadah, the Al HaMilchamos, the Charvot Barzel Haggadah. So he quotes here in source number 20. He quotes from Rav Aviner. A thought, I think we've quoted this Vart before, but here we're quoting it here. He says, right, Shalo Echad Bilvad, Amar Aleinu L'Chal Oseinu, a drush. Shalo Echad Bilvad, that we are not united. Shalo Echad Bilvad, that itself, Omdim Aleinu L'Chal Oseinu. That's destroying us. And that's the cause of all of our difficulties. Right, that's in source 20. Shalo Echad Bilvad. Shalo Echad Bilvad. Masha'in Achtos Beineinu. Levad, Goreim L'chaloseinu. Goreim L'chaloseinu. And then he quotes from Rav Asher Weiss towards the beginning of the war. Amar Rabbi Shiro, he said in his shir, he quotes, Ani zocheret ha-daga atzuma b'melchemes sheshet hayamim. He says, I remember what it was like during the Six-Day War. Hayinu mukafim ba'ayvim. Haysa achtus no ra'ah. There was tremendous unity. Rav Yechezkel Abramsky, Migdol Zorah Kodem, or the Chazon Yechezkel, Hayaragu alachalotim v'yirgiyas kol sivato. He was very calm. The Six-Day War, they thought it was the over. Right? He was calm. They asked him, why are you so ragua? What did he answer? Im achtus kazu ani batuach. Shlo yuna lanu kol ra. Bischus ha-achtus. Bischus the Jewish people being together. Yehudim b'chol olam kulo. Mikse olam eved katseyu. He writes, Ein kazu tofa b'olam kulo kamo am Yisrael. There's nothing like the Jewish people. And he turns up, and again, as many point out, Rav Rimona said this, 85% of this country and of Jews throughout the world are ba'achdus. There's a loud 15% that tries to sow seeds of discord and seeds of hatred and seeds of pirud. We're different, but he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abet Shemayim Arei, Mika Amcha Yisrael. Look at the achdus stories. Look at the people who have done everything for each other over the past year and a half, more. Look at that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalo Echad Bilvad. There are so many examples of Echad. And we should be Zoche. And he writes towards the end, the Rav Asher Weiss ended that tefillah. He says, Kish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yabit Min HaShemayim V'Yiras Yofyam Shal B'nei Yisrael V'Yismali Rachmim Aleinu V'Chulu V'Yizkayim Banu V'Yisati Shalom Ba'aretz. So we could... We've been misakein, but in our little way, we have to do what we can, always, to be misakein the Shalo Echad Bilvad. Okay, then we get to a number of the psukim that we darshan. Remember, psukim that we darshan. One of them is, on the left side, Rav Yosef Nechemiah Kornitzer, darshans, forever love and possess with the Mayach, forever love with the Mayach Hayi, forever love with the Mayach Hayi, as I say every year, at this stage, it's quote unquote the less exciting part of the Seder, and people say, you know what, let's move Miyat Dayenu. Right? But that's but it shouldn't be that way. Again, if you're running late, then Chatzos is also an issue. So you should go at a moderate pace. You have to talk about the Psukim also. But he quotes there on the Pasuk, Midamayachayi, we know is Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, I have no reason to, they have no redeeming traits. They have no mitzvahs. So I'm going to give them mitzvahs so they can have schuyo. So Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Korban Pesach. We have to get Bris Mila before Korban Pesach, so we had to do those mitzvahs. So the Medrash says, Bischus these two mitzvahs we were redeemed. Bischus these two mitzvahs we will be redeemed. And the question he asks is, Rezachan Kornitzer was the last Rav in Krakow, the father-in-law of Shapsi Frankel. Right, the Rambam, Frankel Rambam. So he says, we're going to be redeemed b'schus the Pesach and the Mila, but we don't have Korban Pesach. How does that help us? Mila we do. Okay, that's good. One out of two is not going to make it, though. So what does the Medrash mean? We were nigal from Mitzrayim b'schus Pesach and Mila, and we're going to be nigal in the future because of Pesach and Mila. Mila, yes, but he's all been moser nefesh for Mila. In the Holocaust, that we've been moser nefesh. What about Pesach? So Rav Yosef Nechemiah Kornitzer quotes, he says, the root of every Avera, there's one of two roots for every Avera that we do. Every Avera that we do is either, what he writes, an issue in Emuna or an issue in Taiva. One of the two. Issue Emuna, everything. I don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. Emuna or Taiva. Pegam be'emuna deos nefsados. Or taiva, some type of desire, physical desire. It could be a desire for covet. also. I don't know, that might be emuna, because I'm impinging on God's place. But either way, he says, these two mitzvahs, Pesach and Milah, are there to remind us. Pesach is the carbon that has to do with anti-Avodah Zarah. There's many rayas to that. That's the first carbon that we got. You take the idol of the Mitzrayim and we shecht it. And Milah obviously is a symbol of limiting our physical desire. So explains Rabbi Yosef Nechemya, if we could live by these two values, that's the schus of the mitzvahs. You don't need the actual Karban Pesach. If we live with strong control of our taiva in all areas and control of our emuna, we could be redeemed in that way. And that's what he discussed. The Rav Shapsi Frankel has a footnote here where he talks about, you know, something that he said right before, 19, Tafrei Tzadi Gimel, right? Yosef Nechemya was Nifter in 1933, before the Shoah. But that's where, there were pictures of him. But that's the two, Misposesa, B'damayach Chayi, B'damayach Chayi. Okay, continuing. Rabbi Lau in his Agada talks about one other pasuk, and then we'll get to the Makkos. You know what? This is, okay, just say it quickly. He talks about Yeshuna Avodecha Be'eretz Goshen. He said Goshen at that time was the only time in the history of the Jewish people that we were in one area. One place. One town. Eretz Goshen. We came to Eretz Yisrael, we were split up all over the place. In the Shvatim. Right? He named Tekufa Achaz, so Yagam Am Yisrael, Merukaz, Be'ezor Echad, Be'eretz Goshen. We met a lo Yatsu Atesim Mitzrayim. Why then were we spread out when we came to Eretz Yisrael? Because then we didn't have the Torah yet. Once we have the Torah, that binds us wherever a Jew might be. In Goshen, we didn't yet have the Torah, so the way that we connected was just geographically. We had to stay together and follow what Hashem told us. But the Torah has a binding, unifying power that goes throughout the world. You walk into a shul anywhere in the world, they'll be up to the same parsha you're up to. Right? And that was the Reb Meir Shapiro's dream, that you go into any Beis Medrash in the world, it'll be up to the same daf that you're up to. Right? The binding power. In Goshen, we needed to be fit geographically together because we didn't have the Torah yet. Okay, remember Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on Parshas Bamidbar connects to that as well, but we continue. Next. The Makkos. We could talk about the Makkos for a couple hours, but one thought that I've mentioned in Parsha Shiurim before, but not in the Haggadah Shiur. We're not going to read this whole thing. 24, the Ber Yosef, where the Ber Yosef, he quotes three Midrashim about Choshech. Three Midrashim. And he says, it's all the same exact idea. 24. He says, the first line, Choshech. What does it mean, Chamushim? Chamushim. Right, but chamushim, we went out of Mitzrayim chamushim. What does it mean? So, number one, the kalchad imcham shetaflo slikum neisom mered Mitzrayim. Every family had five kids. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Every family had five children. That's chamushim. One medrash. Two. Targum Yerushalmi mizunyanin beuvde tava. Chamushim means armed with. Armed with Maisim Tovim, Uvda Tava. Slikim Neisomi Pirgam Aradim Yisrayim. We had Maisim Tovim, that's Chamushim. And of course, the Rashi that we know, Chamushim, one-fifth went out. Because four-fifths died in Makas in Choshech. So three different Pshatim on Chamushim about what Chamushim is. Again, one-fifth went out. They were armed with Maisim Tovim. They all had five kids. Says the Ber Yosef, unbelievably, they're all the same idea. Why? Four-fifths died of the Jewish people, died in Mitzrayim. It was the adults, it wasn't the kids. The kids weren't punishable yet. So four-fifths of the parents died in Mitzrayim. That means there were four-fifths families of orphans that were leaving Mitzrayim without parents. If four-fifths of the Jewish people died in Mitzrayim. Again, the kids didn't, so it must have been the four-fifths of the parents. Says the Ber Yosef. So who took them out? It must be every family that survived took another four families of children with them. Right? There were four-fifths that were, so every family, the one-fifth that was left, they each took another family with them of kids. It doesn't mean they all had five kids. It meant they had five groups of kids, their own kids, and another four families' groups of kids. And says the Bar Yosef, when you usually go on a trip to take somebody else's kids with you, now mainly your own kids and the types of snacks that you have to bring for your own kids and the wine, even though, you know what, I've always felt that with my wife, like sometimes having somebody else's kids with your kids kind of like helps out and diffuses some stuff. Yeah, but maybe at a certain age. But here, to take them out forever, right? You're just taking them out in the desert. That's the Maisim Tovim. So it's five sets, and it's one-fifth, and it's the Maisim Tovim. It's all the same idea regarding Machas Choshech. All three Midrashim are pointing from the same root. So he says here, in the big piece that you have in front of you. We could talk about the makas, but again, Yotzei, one makah. Uve Moshe Avdo, the only time Moshe Rabbeinu was mentioned in the Haggadah is right here, towards the end, Vemina B'Shem Moshe Avdo, source 26. You have this from the Haggadah Gedolei Yerushalayim, Yudalei Mikutna. He asked a question that we've asked in the past that gave a different answer. Why did Moshe's name, Moshe, stay? Moshe had many names. Tuvia, Avigdor, Aviza Noach. But Moshe stuck. Minamayim Ishisihu. Pulled from the water. The name that Basya gave him. Or Bisya, as it said in different Hayamim. Why was that the name that stuck for Moshe? Yishkan Tema Gedoli, he quotes. He says, let's think about it this way. Isn't it wild that the daughter of Parah was the one that saved Moshe? Like her father decreed all the baby boys should die in the river. And all of a sudden, she's the one that saves him. How did she do that? Okay, the Medrash says she was really a believer. She was Misgayeris. She went down to the river to convert. Oh. But he quotes here, he said, no. It must be she went down to the river. She sees this little baby in the basket. And she's watching it, and she sees miracles that the baby... The Nile River wasn't Stam, a little lake, a pond. It was the major thoroughfare. Boats and yacht and blah, blah, like quick taxi boats and like this little basket of a baby. She sees that he miraculously is surviving. So she says, he says that it must be that she knew the idea of called double jeopardy. You can't be judged for the same crime twice. And once you're exonerated, once you're acquitted, then you're home free. She saw he was saved from being thrown into the river. So she says to herself, it must be this baby is meant to live. She pulled him from the water because that was what she took from what she saw. Yadua Darviki Chokeitz Okala Umashabolam. All the nations of the world have that rule. If somebody's supposed to be hanged, the Kfarkashu Achevau, and the noose is around the neck, and he's saved. Loyit Lushenis. Right? Minashamayim Yirichem Allah. From heaven you see. So, Vatikra Shma Moshe. She called him Moshe. Why? Lama Davka Moshe, Minamayim Ishisiyu. Minashamayim Richemu Allah, Vinishar Chai Bemayim. And they knew that he wasn't supposed to die a second time. Shanus. Okay, moving right along. Four more thoughts. We'll try to squeeze in 4 minutes. A few minutes over. Dayenu. So we've spoken about in Dayenu. Each line of Dayenu is crucial. But you have in source 27, you have the Haggadah from Rav Eli Sadan, who quotes that really Dayenu is three groups. It's 15 Dayenus, but it's really three groups of five. And if you look at them, if you study them, it's three groups of five. The first five are about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? It's all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you look at the groups, what is Dayenu? Haragis Bichoreim, Nasalonu Asmamonim, Asabayim Shafatim. Karolanu Asayam. Right, that is all. The first five are Yitzias Mitzrayim focused. Right, the second five are miraculous existence in the Midbar focused. In the Midbar, Hashem gave us the man, Sipek Tzarchenu, Nasalanu Shabbos, I skipped. Right, Yam, Charav, Shikat Sarena Besocho, Sipek Tzarchenu, man, the middle five. And then the last five are about Dveikus Bashem. Shabbos, Torah, Eretz Yisrael. That's the lead-in. And of course, the last one, Eretz Yisrael, based on Chira, which is the goal. Dayenu isn't just, each one should be focused on, and as we've discussed, every detail, Hakaras HaTov, is more intense and personal when we detail. We don't just say, what a great meal, thank you so much. No, the kugel was delicious. What was in that challah you put, and the challenge, what's your secret ingredient? And the more detailed, the more hodah. So that's true. But also, we have to look overall. We have to look overall and see the five, and the five of Dayenu. Lefichach, we have the paragraph of Lefichach. Anachlo chayavim lahodos lecha. Right, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the language of Lefichach, again, something very special. The Nesivis, in Agada Maisa Nisim, source 28. Lefichach anachayavim lahodos lehalo shabeach. If you look in the phrases in Lefichach, we say, we thank Hashem for taking us from Avdus Lecherus, Yagom Lesimcha, Eva Leyantif, Afelel Argadol, Shibur Legeula. Five. Five phrases, if you look in Lefichach. Says the Maisa Nisim, the five phrases are the five Galios that we have experienced and the Geulos. And the words are exactly parallel. Look what he writes. Geulas Mitzrayim Yishoresh L'chala Geulos. Geulas Mitzrayim is the Shoresh of Ua. V'kivet Shehayelanu Arba Geulos Me'arba Malchios. Chuz Geulas Mitzrayim Mehin Chamisha. Five things. Number one, what's the first phrase? First phrase is Me'avdus L'cherus. Right, that's Avdus. Geulas Mitzrayim is Avdus. L'chelos Mitzrayim Lo Nikra Shuv Al Yisrael Shem Avadim. We're no longer Avadim. Avdus L'cherus. That's Mitzrayim. Next, Yagon L'simcha. Throughout Megillas Eicha, we find the word Yagon, relating to Churban Bayis Rishon. Churban Bayis Rishon, Nemar Megillas Eicha, Kamapam Lashon Yaga, Hashem Hoga, V'chayotzi Baharbe. Yagon L'simcha is Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bavel. Negen Malchus Parasumada, what's next? Me'evel Yantif. Right, what does that sound like? Megillas Esther, that's Persia. Right, Me'evel Yantif. Hashem took us out. The Megillah Nizkar Shaya Evel Gadol Ayudim. Vagan Evel Liantif. Evel Liantif. That's Purim. Next, Yavan. Remember that was during Bayesheni. Right, we have Mitzrayim, Bavel, Paras, Yavan. What's Yavan? Chashbonaim, Me'afela Liora. It's unbelievable. The words work out perfectly. Me'afela Liora. The Or of Chanukah. Ratzulash Kicham Tor V'nigalo Mizeh. Me'afela la'ora, ora zutora. V'neged golas ha'acharon, the one that we're in, mishibud li'geula, kishibud ulashen muchlat. Kimesh ha'shkuim anachru zezman rav, v'acharkach ye'geula shlema. And that's the one we daven for. That's the one we daven for. Okay, two more points. Let's try to squeeze in. Pesach matzah maror. Pesach Matzah Maror, just to say quickly, and I want to end with the Ber Yosef after. Rav Moshe writes in Source 9:29, Rav Moshe writes in Parshas Baaloscha, Pesach Matzah Maror are the mitzvahs, now we get to the mitzvahs Halayla. We have to appreciate, again, I'm saying it quickly, but every tiny little bit of every mitzvah that we could do, we have to appreciate. There's nothing small in Judaism. I've quoted in the past from Rav Yerucham, great people make little things big. Little people make great things little. We have to be great people. Hashem expects us to be great people. We Jews make tying our shoes great. We tie our shoes and make it a religious experience. What kind of religion is that? Right? But every little bit of our life. So now we're up to the Maisa Mitzvahs. Rav Moshe says, every mitzvah that you could do, appreciate. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, he couldn't even do a full mitzvah. He did half a mitzvah. The Ari Miklat weren't going to work until all six were set aside. He did three. The Rambam calls that a chatzi mitzvah. But Moshe said, I could do a chatzi mitzvah. I'll do a chatzi mitzvah. It's good for me. That's all I could do. That's what I'll do. So as we get to the mitzvahs of matzah maror and urim, we still have 2 weeks. We still could do. Today, we still have a few more days to be able to become tar before the Korban Pesach. But if not, chas v'shalom, we got to yearn for it and enjoy the matzah and the maror. Right? Matzah, the only mitzvah d'oraisa of eating that we have left today. Matzah. So we have to appreciate the mitzvahs. That's our Moshe. But the last point to mention for this year's Haggadah this year, and feel free to listen to the previous 20-plus years, the Ber Yosef, source 30. We have a minhag of opening up the door after the Seder by Shvuach HaMascha. Shvuach HaMascha L'Goyim, we ask Hashem to take revenge against all of our enemies. But he discusses that maybe Shvuach HaMascha, right, there's a minhag he quotes L'Toach HaDeles, remember Lel Shimurim, right, there first he quotes the Ramah. Right, to open the door, to remember Lal Shimurim, Ubschus Munavzu, Yavo Mashiach Yishpoch Hamaso. Right, we daven that Hashem will pour out his wrath against our enemies. But he quotes a halachic reason why we don't open the door until then. Like we asked before, why don't we open the door by Halach Ma'anya when you're inviting people in? Then you should open the door. Why? You keep it closed. Because Hilchos Karban Pesach demands that it stay closed. Because at the Seder, you could be the nicest person. But if you weren't appointed to the group before the Seder, you can't come over. Korban Pesach can't be shared. Every Jew is appointed before the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. That's why they kept it. Everybody ate it in their place. And not until after Afikomen, then you could open the door. Then you could go on the roof and sing Hallel. Then you could see your neighbor. Right, maybe go over. See, it's halachic reasons that he gives. But it's also a tefillah. We act as if we still have the Korban Pesach. Right, and we dafka open the door then, as if to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hashem, we're ready. We're reenacting. We're reenacting. Shvuach HaMascha. You know, throughout history, Jews have always had kavana. By Shvuach HaMascha. Sometimes it's been easier to have kavana. But remember, our goal in our history been fo'lo yivchal tismach. We want all of our enemies to perish, but that's not the reason. That's not the end. We want our enemies to perish so that we can then serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sheket u'b'shalva. But the Minchas Chen, Rabbi Albaum points out that the day that we rest, right, Purim, in Yud Dalid, throughout the world, what happened on Yud Dalid? Yud Gimel was the war, Yud Dalid was the day after the war. In Shushan, Yud Dalid was the war, Tesvav was the day after the war. What do we celebrate? We celebrate the day after. Because our goal is not to win the war. Our goal is to have the war finished so we could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this last act that we do by opening the door, which harkens back to the Binyan HaMikdash, what we did and what we will do is really in a tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu, allow us to get back to the times that we could open the door, that we could be enclosed to do the Korban Pesach with our families, to be able to open the door at the right time. Hashem, benisa nigal, benisa nasidim ligal, we should be zocha to have many more Haggadah Shiurim and Pesach celebrations, and we should all be zocha to be able to, everyone should be able to say all brachas once a year, Beth Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, here, in Heira v'Yameinu, Amen. Amen.